This is The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. Every few weeks, KUOW's Elizabeth Austin, Washington State Poet Laureate, brings us poetry from another Pacific Northwest writer. It's great to see you again, Elizabeth.
Good to see you, Marcy.
Who did you bring in today?
Today's poet is Anne Garrickey. I brought you a couple of poems from a very interesting book that she put together. It's part poetry collection and part medical history, and it's called About Face, World War I Facial Injury and Reconstruction.
This sounds like an incredibly heavy topic, and I think maybe it will serve us best if we listen to a poem first and then talk a little bit about Anne Garrickey.
I agree. So one thing to know about this first poem is that in World War I, because of the way that war was fought, there were a tremendous amount of facial injuries. Some of them were so bad that they couldn't be repaired with the skills of the time. And so the way around this was to have artists use photos of the soldiers from before the war who would make masks to cover the injured part of their face. And that's the subject of this first poem. So here's Anne Garrickey imagining what it might have been like to live with that kind of damage.
Day of execution. In hospital, they hid mirrors from me, but I saw the shields they raised to block their vision, how their eyes met only my eyes and censored out the rest. I hid from mirrors, too, until they made me my old face again, to cover up the other. But summer came, and sun shone hot on tin. Unmasked, I moved deep into woods where no one saw me. I saw no one, and no one heard when I awakened, screaming. Always my pistol with me. I'd passed a meadow once, and walked there early after such a night, thinking to die out in the open air. And then I saw the lark. She saw me too, and sang.
That's Anne Garrickey reading Stay of Execution from her chapbook, About Face, World War I Facial Injury and Reconstruction. Elizabeth Austin, that is an incredibly powerful poem with both despair and some bit of hope in it.
I can't help but think about the Emily Dickinson line, hope the thing with feathers, that image of the bird. One of the things I think that keeps it from becoming sentimental is that she doesn't tell us what happens next. She just tells us that the man felt seen and that the bird sang.
This leads me, of course, to wonder a whole lot more about what inspired Anne Garrickey to write a poem like this. Where does it start, something?
I was curious about that, too. And what Anne told me is that she was living on Whidbey Island at the time, and she was actively opposed to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, but realized there she was, living surrounded by servicemen and their families. And so writing these poems became a way to tell the stories of the personal lives of the people who go to war. This idea of World War I is personal for her because her mother, in the 1920s, had had a diseased part of her jaw replaced by her own floating rib. And Anne found out that the surgeon who did that had trained as an Army surgeon in World War I.
So these poems are operating on many levels. Let's hear another one. What can you tell us about it?
Well, this next one is called Private Fairweather, age 22. And this is definitely one of the poems that mixes that medical history and that personal history of World War I. Anne is going to use a term in it called a pedicle tube. And it was an interim surgery that allowed the surgeon to take a flap of skin and keep it alive so he could move it to the place that needed new skin. So here's Anne Garrickey.
Okay, and this is called Private Fairweather, age 22. He was wounded on July 1st, that notorious first day of the Battle of the Somme. Dimpled chin, right eye, and forehead perfect. Across the left eye, stitches march. Turn sharp left down the scarred face, past the absent nose, and halt at the right upper lip, tracing the bullet's path. The open eye is empty. No viewing of last week's battle available. Gradually, a face materializes, an eyelid followed by a lashless eye. The private spirits rise. In one photo, still cockeyed, his good eye is laughing. His carp-like mouth has its parenthesis of curves. Soon it segues to closed lips, kissable. The artist sketching nose plans draws him grinning. Then, in a long elongated darkness, a cave-painted animal in flight leaps across his shaved forehead, marking the place from which the skin was lifted for a pedicle. above the right ear a stalk sprouts, drapes under his eye, across his cheek, roots itself on the nose's bridge. Finally, the stalk is gone, has flowered into an almost perfect, though still swollen nose. After 5 years, 16 surgeries, the now civilian private has a face. He marries, settles down, has children, grandchildren. He is a wonderment to them. Small, curious fingers trace his facial scars, admire his manufactured nose, gently prod his shrunken eye. He makes a story of it, tells them the funny bits, nothing nightmare-producing. His face settles slowly like an old dog, making itself comfortable. Like the dog, he sometimes twitches in his sleep, whines and mutters, until his wife wraps him in her arms, rocks him back, back, away from his dreams.
That was Anne Garricke reading Private Fairweather, Age 22, from her chapbook of poetry About Face, World War I Facial Injury and Reconstruction, brought to us by our own Elizabeth Austin, and the poetry publisher Floating Bridge Press published that chapbook. You're going to find more poems from About Face at our website, kuow.org. Elizabeth Austin, as always, it's been a pleasure having you.
Thanks, Marcy.
It's The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.